Good morning, Pine Grove. Welcome to this week's social distancing service. We've been at this, 3 weeks now? We did 2 weeks with Apostle and I both sharing Easter Sunday. Apostle shared. Today I'm going to share, hopefully, and we're keeping hope in front of us. Maybe by May 3rd we'll be back in service. That's what we're aiming for. So I hope this finds you well. I hope that you are being encouraged by the messages that you're hearing and you're staying in touch with people via phone, touching base with those here in the congregation so that no one is isolated any more than what they have to be. Today we're going to be talking, this is going to be a hot topic for me. I'm excited about it. It is going to be based two scriptures. We're going to use 1 Kings 19:19 through 21, and we're going to be looking at Luke 16:16. So, I love to tell stories. So, we're going to start with two stories today. The first one starts in 1519, way back. With a guy that many of you, if you paid attention in history class, will remember, Hernan Cortez. This is the guy that conquered the Aztec Empire, Mexico as we know it today. So in 1519, Cortez violated orders he had this desire, this great passion to go to the Aztec Empire. Which at that point in time in the world, people knew that they were there, that there were great riches. And he had this great desire to go and get some of those riches, take them back to Spain. But he had orders from the guy above him, his commander above him, to not go. Well, Cortez violates the orders, decides he's going to go anyways. He takes ships, I think there were 11 ships, 500 soldiers, and then the sailors to handle the ships. He takes and he sails to Mexico, to the Yucatan Peninsula. When they get off of the ships and they go aground, Cortez does something that, and I'm sure you've heard this phrase in your goings and comings, but Cortez gives an order to burn the ships. Burn the ships. Burn all 11 ships. The only way for them to return, the only way for them to get back from where they came from. And the question was, why does Cortez do this? Well, Cortez knows that they are way outnumbered. 500 soldiers to approximately 5 million in the Aztec Empire. So one of the best ways to prompt his soldiers to get their thinking in line appropriately to win this battle and to conquer this empire and to win these treasures that he is so anxious to obtain is to convince his soldiers that there's no retreat. There's no going back. There's no running back when things aren't going well in the battle and jump on the ships and take off and run like a bunch of scared rabbits. So he orders the ships burnt. Now, as you know, whenever we hear things that have gone on in history or when we're hearing things that are going on today and we're wondering, what does the Bible say about that? Or what would the Bible say? I always try to encourage you to get in and find it because it's Brago. It's in there. And there is a story in the Bible. It's in 1 Kings. Now, there's other ones that we could use, but this one is probably the clearest one that I think it's the most plain to go along with this analogy. So we go to 1 Kings chapter 19. This is right after Elijah, the great prophet, has been on Mount Carmel. He has conquered Mount Carmel. He's past that, and now the Lord speaks to him and says, it's time for you to get somebody and prepare them to take your place. You're not going to be around here forever, so now it's time to pass on this lineage, this authority that I've given you to raise up another prophet. And so God gives directions to Elijah to find this man by the name of Elisha and go drop your mantle on him, and I want you to teach him and train him to be you, or to be like you, to be another prophet, to be another man of God to lead the people of Israel. Because remember, in Old Testament, they don't have the Holy Spirit talking to them like what we do today. They're hearing most of what God is saying to them through the prophets. So in this chapter 19 of 1 Kings, we have, and it says, so he departed, so Elijah departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him, cast his mantle upon him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again. So what we have here, and I'm just going to just kind of summarize, we've got Elisha. Now, he's a farmer. He's probably a pretty well-to-do farmer because he's got 12 oxen. Now, you know, we go to Kenya, and we've been there several times, and I will tell you, if a man in Kenya has 12 oxen, he's doing pretty well. Pretty well. So I have to take from this that Elisha, having 12 oxen plus yoke, and he's tilling land, that he was pretty well off. This isn't somebody who is being called away from nothing. This is a man who's being called away who has a lot. And what happens is he's willing to go, but he stops and he says, but Elijah, can't I please just go say goodbye to my mom and dad first? And Elijah says, yep, no problem. You go say goodbye. And what we see happening following that is that Elisha, much like Cortez, makes sure that there is no retreat place available for him. Because what he does is he takes his 12 oxen, and it doesn't say that he slaughtered one. The word says, and I will follow thee. It says, and he said unto him, go, you know, what have I done? And he took the oxen. He took the oxen, slew them. We're talking about the 12. He slew them. He boiled their flesh with instruments of the oxen, which means with the yokes. He burned the whole dadgum thing. And it says, and he gave to the people, and they ate, and he arose, and he went after Elijah. So Elisha, much like Cortez, has a choice in front of him. He's got big things in front of him. He doesn't know totally what it looks like. Cortez doesn't really know if he's going to win or lose. He's got 500 against 5 million. Odds don't look good. Elisha doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know what God has in store. All he knows is that Elijah is the man of God. He knows, and he's already heard the stories. All of Israel heard the story. They all heard. They all knew what Elijah did through God working through him on Mount Carmel. Brought fire down, burned up the altar, burned up the meat on the altar, burned up the stone, burned up everything. So Elisha doesn't know what's in front of him, but the question is in front of him, what are you going to do? Are you going to sell out totally to what God has in front of you, or are you going to leave yourself a place for retreat? So Elisha gets rid of his oxen, and what he's basically saying to his family is, I'm not coming back. My inheritance is yours. Do with it what you want. I'm not coming back to this place. You know, we have a God that talks about moving forward, not looking back. We hear Paul talk many times about pressing in and looking to the prize that's in front of us. We have we have this time, we have this place with Elisha when he's doing the same thing. And he's making sure that he doesn't have a place of retreat, that he is cutting off everything, that there's nothing to tempt him to go back. And I would tell you, just to pull this in to today, where we're at to today, is that over the last, what, 4-6 weeks, I mean, actually beginning of March when all this COVID stuff started, and now we're coming to the end of April. So I'm going to tell you that we're hearing many reports back. Many people are calling the house, or we're calling them, they're talking to us, and they're saying, you know what, my fasting, my Bible reading, my worship, man, it's been so good, I ain't going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going to go back to the way I was. I'm telling you that, much like Cortez, that this phrase, burn the ships, which is where it comes from, this is a time to decide to burn your ship. This is a time to decide that the way life was prior to COVID, you hear it all over the news. If you're paying attention to the news at all, which I have to turn it off now because I'm so tired of hearing it. But if you listen to it, they keep saying, life isn't going to be the same. Life isn't going to be the same. Life isn't going to be the same. Well, I hope life is not the same. I hope it isn't. I hope God's people have got a fire in their belly that says, this relationship that I've built with the Lord over the last several weeks, because I've had quiet time, because I haven't had the distractions, I hope that puts a fire in your belly that says, I am not going back. I am going to burn the past, and I'm going to burn my retreat. I'm going to leave myself only with a place to move forward. It means I'm going to spend more time with my family. It means that I am going to not let the distractions of the busyness of life overcome me. It means that I'm going to continue to put my priorities with what the Lord is speaking into me as my priority, so I can hear him clearly. So he has time of quiet when I'm listening, so that he can talk to me and tell me what I need to do and where I need to go and who I need to be. I hope that this becomes a time when you're willing to cut off your retreat. That's what I hope. That's what I'm expecting, because the good things, we know the good things that happened with Elisha. As the story unfolds, because he cut off his retreat, because he was only looking forward, even though he didn't know totally where God was taking him or what it was going to look like, we get to this place where he's asking the Lord for a double portion. And if you read the accounts in the Bible, he literally does double the miracles, signs, and wonders that Elijah did. Do you think that he would have gotten there if he would have said to his dad or his brothers, hey, hold on to my oxen in case this doesn't work out? Just in case. You know, you can keep this year's, whatever, profits that come out of the field. But next year, just hold off, because I'm probably coming back. What do you think would have happened? Do you think God would have given him a double portion? Do you think God would have given him any portion? I mean, we won't know, because he made the right choice. We're at that point. We have opportunity. I'm not just talking about Pine Grove. I'm talking about as God's people, as God's kingdom. We have an opportunity to move forward. There is, and I was looking, you know, because I'm like, there's always people that go, oh, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. Okay, well, here's your New Testament, Luke 16:16. Luke 16:16 says the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, which is now, okay, we're talking, this is now, the kingdom of God is preached, and that word is declared, okay? In the Greek, preached is declared. So the kingdom of God is declared, and every man presseth into it. Presseth means by force. You can't sit there and say, well, yeah, I want to go forward. Yeah, I'll think about it. Taking something by force means that you're very deliberate. It's part of burning the ships. It means that your hunger has raised in you. It's Jeremiah saying, I got a fire in my belly and I got to get it out. It's time that God's people in this time and in this hour decide that we're going to take the kingdom. We're going to press in and we're going to take the kingdom by force. You know, if you listen to any contemporary Christian music, there's that group King and Country. They have a song, and you probably heard it. They have a song which they actually have titled Burn the Ships. I'm just going to read you some of the lines from that song. Burn the ships, cut the ties, send a flare into the night, say a prayer, turn the tide, dry your tears and wave goodbye. Step into a new day. We can rise up from the dust and walk away. We can dance upon our heartache. So light a match, leave the past, burn the ships, and don't look back. You don't want anything to go back to. God is not a God that looks back. He looks forward. He's a God that doesn't remember what's happened. You remember, you know this to be true, that if we've asked him, hey, from this point on, Lord, you know what? I haven't done things so good. I haven't done things quite like I should. I haven't spent my time with you like I need to. I haven't been in the Word like I need to. But from this day going forward, I want to make sure that there's nothing to go back to. I want to make sure that I am 100% sold out for you. I want to make sure that I have no retreat. I want to put things in the right perspective. I'm tired of listening to people tell me that, you know, oh, we're saving lives. Governor's saving lives. Trump's saving lives. God is the one that saves our lives. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that we owe our allegiance to. He's the one that we need to sell out to. He's the one that is waiting for us at this time and hour. He's waiting. He was waiting on Elisha just to say, yep, I'm going to burn these cows, man. I'm done with them. I'm going forward. He wants hearts that are dedicated to him, not 100%, 200%. He wants it all. And what he gives back to us more than makes up for it. You know, earlier this year, I had a word for someone, and it was reset. And that word just keeps coming back to me. Reset, 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 reset. And it's just been hammering me. Reset, reset your priorities, reset your thoughts, reset your prayer time. Reset how you space your day and your time allotments. Reset who you spend your time with. Reset your pocketbook. What a great time to do that. Everybody's broke. You're all in the same place. No job, no income. What a great place to start. Start with zero and go forward. How good is that? You know, we are God's people. And part of this reset, part of burning the ships, is understanding that when you give your all to him, he is more than able, more than willing, because he's our loving Father, to take care of us and provide for us, to show us more than what we could ever imagine, to open up new paths, open up new doors, something better waiting. I'm encouraging you to refocus. I'm encouraging you to sell out. I'm encouraging you to cut off your place of retreat, whatever that place is. Cut it off. Don't give room for passive behavior. Don't give yourself that opportunity. Realize that if you're going to gain kingdom authority and kingdom power, that you have to press in. That you're going to have to take it by force. And that the Lord will back you up the whole way. He will keep his promises. Burn the ships and see what God's going to do for you. Amen.